Some days are terrible, you wish that you were dead. And some days are magical, like great banana bread. Someday we'll be friends with the voices in our heads. The voices in our heads.
Hello, human beings of planet Earth. What a planet we chose to incarnate on, huh? Congratulations on choosing to remain here. My name is Christina Hutchinson, and this is The Voices in Our Heads, and Our Buttholes, and Our Hearts, and Our Brains. I had to get my nails done this morning. Look, every time I get my nails done, I like cup things and hold them, and like when I have to hand something to somebody, I'm like, here you go, mister, look at my nails. But I had to get them done today because I said last week I was on Jimmy Fallon's Fox News Saturday Night Show, but then I got a text from the producer Saturday afternoon. They were like, hey, we're not sure if we're going to air the show tonight. We might have to wait a week because there's breaking news because Iran was launching missiles. And I would like to take this opportunity to let everybody know my stance on any conflict happening in the world right now. No one should kill anybody. Thank you. That is a brave stance, and it's what I feel. You shouldn't kill people. You shouldn't shoot them. You shouldn't bomb them. You shouldn't starve them. Everybody should live, despite what they did to you, because guess what? Be the bigger person, you piece of shit. Okay. But yeah, so we have to reshoot, and I'm getting picked up in a fancy car right after this at 3 p.m. And we're going on to the over to the studio, and we're going to reshoot one little segment that we wrote. I didn't write it. That was based off of, if the glove don't fit, don't acquit or quit.
Must acquit.
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit. The writers wrote the segment, and we did it, and we rhymed. We did all these rhymes that we had to prepare, and mine were very good, and I'm very proud of them. I'm so excited for the show to air. But that we filmed it the day OJ died, and so they didn't get it. They couldn't address it, so we're going to reshoot that part. And that's why I'm not wearing headphones, as you can see or hear. Can you hear me not wearing headphones? I can. And so I had to get up really early this morning and wash my hair. Because curly hair, if you don't know, it's new every day. It's different. And you're like, please, curls, function today. Because I have to look the same as last week. And my curls are like, well, we'll see about that, bitch.
It does look great.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It looks like a little Jerry curl right now. It's about 2 hours away from fully drying. But I'm excited. I think good things are on the horizon. And I got my nails done this morning. I wanted them to look like similar to the color of when I last shot the Fox show. I got a mint green instead of a neon green. So hopefully the audience doesn't know that. They don't give a shit. They're not gonna see my nails. But when I was picking my colors, I was like, well, I might as well get my toes done because they currently look like wolf's feet. And that's disgusting. And I would like to have sex. Not that my partner won't do it if my toes look gross, but I want to not worry about that. You know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying? Like when I make an effort to look hot, it's insurance for me. So I don't have to worry. I can just have fun and be myself. But there was a nail color when I was looking through. The color was, it was a pink. And what did I say it was called? The color is called, no, this is Patrick. And I just want to say, whoever wrote that color name, that's fucking hilarious. No, this is Patrick. There's so many possibilities of what the storyline could be for that color name. And I just really appreciate the grinding of the gears that it caused in my brain to imagine all the different scenarios that whoever wrote that color name was going through. You know, did she mean to reach a guy named Dan? And then she accidentally texted Patrick, who was her ex. And then they fell in love again and got married. I don't know. That's what I was thinking, though. Very excited to reshoot this Fox thing. Also, too, I don't know if you guys, the Fox News building is in Midtown. And whenever I used to go past the building, I would give it a big old middle finger back in 2016. Because I'm like, it's the enemy. And it is a creepy building because it just says, I mean, it says Fox News and there's a ticker. It's in Midtown. It's right across the street from Radio City. But it says there's the most ambiguous corporate logo right above the main door. It just says News Corp. And it feels like the villain's lair in a Marvel movie. It really does. And I love the show Succession. And I think it's based off of Fox News. And when you get in there, you really feel like you're in the show, you know? You're like, just fucking drama. Is Roy going to come out and take me to Pound Town? What? He was hot. God, old guys can get it. And it makes me uncomfortable that I'm attracted to them. Okay. I got to let you all know. I got a ketamine infusion 2 days ago. I'm getting another one tomorrow. The Mind Bloom company that I originally did the ketamine with, that felt like a light afternoon nap. Yo, that is nothing compared to getting an IV in your elbow, in your arm, not your elbow, the other side, and having it infused in an IV drip.
You got an IV?
Yes, dude.
Ketamine?
Yeah. It was awesome. I have never had a drug experience like this, or it's like medicine. I guess we're calling it medicine. I don't know. It's not like an indigenous thing. I know you call ayahuasca medicine. I don't think you call ketamine medicine, but you could, because people do use it for the treatment of PTSD. Yo, your girl got PTSD. Whew. Whenever I react to something and it's a much larger reaction than the situation warrants, I'm like, here we go again. Hello, old friend. How are you? Don't like you, but you're here, huh? So I had a conversation with my friend Mike, who's a comedian, Mike Fenoya, on his podcast. He went through a year of depression, kind of similar to what I went through. It sounded similar. And he was so grounded. And so, like, I feel very grounded. I'm very, you know, I'm happy. I'm so happy. Oh, it's just so happy. Because my inner peace has been restored. Because I don't talk to my parents anymore. But the way that he was talking about these ketamine infusions, I was like, I am signing up for them while we're recording this podcast. So I'd signed up. I went. I was a little nervous. You're not supposed to eat for 4 hours before. The place, I don't want to shout it out. Oh, I actually want to ask them if they wanted to like do a sponsorship, because your girl needs some money because she owes the IRS so much money. What? Give me my money back, parents. And this place was a place you can go to get Botox, fillers, a vitamin injection if you're hungover, like all kinds of beauty stuff. So I was like, oh God, I hope it's not, I don't know. I hate fluorescent lighting. I fucking hate it. I hate it so much. Fluorescent lighting and loud noises. I'll jump off a cliff, you know, if I have to be exposed to that for too long. And so I was a little like, I hope this place is like relaxing. And it was really cool. And the nurse who did it, yo, this chick is awesome. I loved her. She gave me the IV and then she started the drip and I had these headphones, noise canceling headphones. I had a playlist because Mike was like, music is really important. And the playlist, the guy in the lobby had done the ketamine infusions and he had a very happy look on his face. So I'm like, excited for that. And he was like, I loved, what soundtrack did he say he listened to? I think it wasn't The Revenant. It was a movie soundtrack. And I was like, oh, that's I can't remember, think of it at the moment, but I was like, oh, that's a great soundtrack. Maybe I'll download that. And so that was the soundtrack I picked as the ketamine was being dripped into my bloodstream. And I was like, oh, this is what's happening. I'm here for it. But the second song on my playlist was like an anxiety inducing one, because I guess it was a moment of tension in the movie. So in this like ketamine fucking fog, I was like, I took my eye mask off. I'm like, I need new music. This is stressful. And I remember RJ Spina, author of Supercharged Self Healing, he said that 432 megahertz is a very healing tone for the brain. So I was like, I'm just going to look up 432. And by the grace of God, I managed to type all the words in correctly. And I put that on. And that was a good choice. I went somewhere else during that ketamine infusion. It was fantastic. I can't really describe to you what happened. All I know is when I came out of it, I had like a little safety system with myself that I developed when it was starting to like really come on. Cause I sometimes with drugs, especially with psychedelics, if I feel out of control, I'm like, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And that can very quickly spiral into not a good time. So I made a deal with myself. I'm like, if you ever feel like a little nervous, just open your eyes, because the eye mask that I had on had some cracks in it. So I was like, just remember that you're here in this place that people get Botox in, and you know, you're okay. You're safe. So I had to do that a couple times, but my God, I went on a roller coaster ride, but a fun one. And I didn't pass out. I always pass out on roller coasters. I didn't pass out on this. It was mind blowing. I cannot recommend, if you have PTSD or severe depression or severe anxiety, I cannot recommend this shit enough. It is not cheap. It's $500 for an infusion. However, the Mind Bloom stuff that I used that was oral, that was, I think it was like $1,200 and you get a week's worth of like, you get like five sessions worth or something like that. But dude, I don't know if you ever smoked weed back in the 90s. I didn't smoke weed back in the 90s. Why am I saying that? When I first started smoking weed in the 2000s, like 2010s, it was shit weed. It was dirt weed. And it didn't have like a, you know, it wasn't like intense in any way, at least the shit I smoked. And because he had to like pick the seeds out of it. Now we can go into a store and the guy goes, what kind do you want? What kind? The fuck you mean what kind? I remember the first time I ever went into a marijuana dispensary. I was like, is this what heaven looks like? There's choices. But it, like the ketamine that I did orally with Mind Bloom was similar to like that dank weed. This was similar to something better than weed. Ketamine, I'll say.
Yeah. What did this feel like?
So I watch a lot of near-death experience videos and they describe being on in this other realm and they describe feeling completely light, completely like they don't have a body, that everything is fine. They feel safe. They feel loved. They all say, I felt more love than I knew was possible. Love that you just can't get on earth. And I'm like, oh, give me that. I want that. It felt similar to that. It felt similar to a near-death experience in the best way. I cannot sing the praises of this drug enough. And one of the things I thought was interesting was they're like, if you are an addict, be careful. Because they're like, I was researching before I did it. And I was like, oh, shit, because I am. And I don't know how somebody could get addicted to this because it is an intense experience. This is not, I don't know. I know some motherfuckers because we're comedians. We all fucking do drugs. Some of us do a lot of drugs a lot of times. And I know some comics that do ketamine that they're just like, oh, I'm going to go to Long Island in a K-hole. I'm like, what the fuck? How can you function on ketamine? That's insane to me because you can't do anything. And also with psychedelics, it's very valuable experience to have it in a therapeutic medical setting because you got to weight a blanket, you're on a bed, you have an eye mask, and you're going inside of yourself. You're not going outside of yourself. If I was at a music festival or a club on this, I would give up and just take a nap on the floor. I wouldn't give a fuck. I'm like, nope, we're not dancing. No one step on me. Because while this Diplo song's playing and you guys are shaking your titties, I'm going to be taking a nap because I'm in this ketamine coma and it's sick. And it's a way better time than you're having. I guarantee you. This is, it's revolutionary. It's a revolutionary treatment. And they recommended getting like five infusions, 24 to 48 hours apart, which I'm like, eh, I don't know about that one. I mean, I'm not a doctor, clearly. You okay, Michael?
I have such bad allergies. I'm so sorry to the audience.
Oh, it's okay. I mean, allergies can be allergies. Yeah, no, I've been
coughing like a motherfucker.
It wouldn't be an episode of The Voices in Our Heads if Mike didn't make some type of noise.
This phone was silenced. I have headphones in for the laptop.
But your nasal passages are not silenced.
Alas, yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's April in New York. This is what happens.
Hey, do some ketamine. See if that'll take care of those allergies. Who knows?
That's what I read about ketamine.
It's a really strong drug. It's a really strong drug. And I know you got mad anxiety, Michael.
I do, yeah.
If you're tired of it, some people like their anxiety. Some people are addicted to it, I'll say. Some people don't want their anxiety. If you don't want your anxiety, ketamine infusion.
I just think it's funny because you were like, how people take this stuff and how do you function? But I think for a lot of people, that's kind of the point. Like, why do people do heroin?
I guess.
Same sort of thing. Heroin, no, but I mean, heroin like, probably feels awesome.
While you're right. But heroin takes a toll on you.
Big time.
More than ketamine. Yeah. I'm saying like, how can you be not rolling? I know rolling is the word that we use with like ecstasy, but I'm going to use it here just because I don't know what else to use. Journeying. I don't know. When you're experiencing the drug at the level that I was, you can't even fart. You can't do anything. You're grounded, which is awesome. And man, when I came out of it, I was like, where am I? And the nurse, she was so cool. Oh, she was really funny. She had this like Mona Lisa smile about her. I loved her. I was like, you're going to be my friend. But I remember coming out of it, I asked her where I was, and she goes, you're in this facility and you just did the treatment and you're coming out of it. And she's like, oh, you're going to need some more time. You could lay down for like 45 minutes. Don't worry about it. I was like, okay. But I felt so loving. And so I was in a good mood when I went to the place. I was a little nervous, but that's to be expected. So I wasn't in any type of like, you know, cranky mood. So I can't say it would have like dissolved that. I don't know. But my God, I came out of it and she left me alone in the room for about 45 minutes. I didn't know where I was. I thought like 8 hours had passed. It was such a beautiful experience. And as I was coming out, I don't know why, but I started making selfie videos on my phone. Thank God I didn't do it right to Instagram. Woo! But I made all these videos and I look back at them and I was like, I love aliens. I love Kevin. I love Colin. I love comedy. I love career. I was just doing all this cuz in my life. And it was really sweet. And it was the best. And then I walked around. It was in Queens. It was in Jackson Heights, Queens, which is, if y'all don't sleep on Queens, the borough of Queens, New York, first of all, the most diverse borough in the whole world. Mm-hmm. That's cool as shit. Okay. And I walked outside in the center of Jackson Heights and I was just, I was looking at everything as if as if it was the first time I was seeing it. The way that RJ Spina says in the book, pretend like you're here for the first time and everything's new. My imagination is very powerful, so I can get myself there and it is a valuable exercise, but this shit takes the cake. I was walking around and I was in the middle of like all these markets and these like halal carts and these fucking, there's Asian places, there's Indian places, there's all these kinds of restaurants and people outdoors selling beautiful clothing. And I was like, you guys, life is so beautiful. We just all need to chill the fuck out. You know what I'm saying? It was so good. And I'm so excited to do another one tomorrow. She's going to come to my home, which is, I didn't know that was a thing. And way better. I'd way rather be in my bed. And also, I know Kevin's going to want to lay on me the whole time. That's going to be the shit. Dude, being in like a ketamine K-hole, you basically go into a K-hole, which I'd be like, is that safe? Are you guys sure that's okay? Meanwhile, the other half of me is like, let's fucking go. Let's do all the drugs very intensely. But boy, oh boy, I can't wait. I can't wait to have Kevin laying on me while I do it because I'm just going to feel like I'm in heaven. It's crazy. And I want to do like a couple infusions. I don't think I want to do five. That just feels because it's so intense. It's very intense. And I'm an intense gal. I do intense drugs, but I just want to take it easy a little bit. But I can't recommend it enough. It is next level. Speaking of next level, I was hanging out with my brother and my nephew, and I found out my parents were giving all that shit back to me. I found a cool thing that wasn't sad or infuriating. My brother, who's a chemist, he got a science degree. He's my older brother. Love him to death. Thank God. I got one family member that I'm just, he's my guy. Oh, I love him so much. He was like, oh, I go outside in the mornings to ground. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? My brother does this woo-woo shit of grounding? And he goes, it's not woo-woo, it's science. I'm like, well, yeah, a lot of woo-woo stuff is scientifically backed to everybody who goes, well, it's a woo-woo, you're a witch. No, I'm not. Grounding, which is basically going outside and putting your feet on the dirt, putting your feet on a patch of grass. And you don't have to have your bare feet. You can be in your socks. But rubber soles prevent this. But the minerals of the earth, dirt is very healthy for you because it takes out all these toxins in your body. So, and he was doing this and I was like, what the hell did you read to get you to do that? Like, I'm very excited that you're doing that. That's a really beneficial thing for your health. And he was like, oh, I listened to this episode of Rogan. And I was like, here we go. Let's go. I love Joe Rogan. And so I wanted to share this episode with you. It's from last year. It's with this guy named Gary Brecka. Okay. He's a human biologist and a biohacker. He used to work with an insurance company, a life insurance company. And he would read hundreds of thousands of medical charts of people before the company insured them. And was just evaluating how long they were going to live. And so he got all this data from his years of experience doing this. And I mean, he's saying something that in this episode, it's episode number 2060 with Gary Brecka, B-R-E-C-K-A. Now I'm going to put this up on my Patreon. I'll put the exact episode up so you can click. It's patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson. You don't have to pay or be a member or anything to get it. So go there if you want to, if you're driving and you're like, oh fuck, I can't write it down. You could also just press rewind later, but who has the time, right? It's a great episode. I listened to it on my way back from visiting my brother. And I'm like, oh my God, I've known we've been doing medicine wrong. Like, I've always had that feeling. And many people that I respect with medical degrees have been saying this. And dude, this guy, it's just truth bomb after truth bomb about your health and how people aren't meant, like a lot of people can't metabolize. He said, I think it was 49% of people cannot metabolize an ingredient in wheat. And that's why a lot of times in America, you can eat a piece of like a sandwich or a croissant and you feel like shit. But then you go to France and you just eat bread all day and you lose weight. And he's like, that's a very curious thing, huh? And I was like, you know what, Gary? Yeah, it fucking is. It fucking is. Why in America are we allowed to have poison ingredients in our food that make us feel like crap? Well, it's because capitalism. But he really goes into some nerdy ass science about your body and biohacking. And I love biohacking. It's very exciting. So he talks about getting certain DNA testing to see if you have genes that can process certain foods. And he tells you, I mean, you're really going to want to have a pen handy when you listen to this episode of Joe Rogan. Again, that's 2060. And I'm going to post it on my Patreon because it's got a lot of valuable information. It really does. I'm also going to put this on my Patreon. This meme that I came across on Instagram made me laugh so fucking hard. It's a photo of John Lennon and Yoko Ono, and they're naked. And they're completely naked. Their backs are facing the camera and they're like looking over their shoulder to the camera. So you could see their face and you could see their butt cracks and their butts. John Lennon's ass crack like goes up to the middle of his back. And I'm like, is he okay? And then Yoko Ono's ass crack, it's like God got distracted while he was making her butt crack. And it's the tiniest butt crack I've ever seen. But she's standing next to the biggest butt crack I've ever seen. And this guy, again, his name's Justin on Twitter. He tweeted out this photo and he said, John Lennon waking up after butt crack surgery. Where's Yoko? Butt crack surgeon. Who do you think gave you the butt crack? And then this other guy goes, you really don't appreciate having a normal sized butt crack until you see two people on the outer edges of the spectrum like this. I did not know that a person can have such a long butt crack and also such a short butt crack. And it's just one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And I'm going to put it up on my Patreon. God, I love funny Instagram posts. They really make me happy because everybody, I'm sure a lot of you listen to this, have like a 9-to-5 or an office job where you got to be around people that you probably don't like because a lot of people suck, you know? And you can't just, people be acting out all the time in the office. And there is, wait, why was I saying that? I was just completely lost my train of thought because I'm looking at these butt cracks. These butt cracks are crazy. I want to throw it to you, Mike. I don't know why, but I'm like, how can a man's butt crack be that big? But you don't know either.
I did see you look post that this. Though. No, I saw, I've seen it. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
crazy.
This is the thing that I took away from it is that, I mean, I'm sure I know everybody in this room and probably listening. We all get weird about our bodies.
Totally.
But the truth is everybody's body's fucking weird.
Bodies are weird.
You know?
And it's such a shame that we're inundated with pictures of perfect bodies. It yeah. really is a shame because no one's body looks like that. Like the percentage of the human population whose body looks like perfect, like jacked or like perfectly thin, whatever. That's so rare. It's so, our bodies are fucking weird.
But maybe this is another reason that we all love the Beatles and all love John Lennon, because John Lennon has a weird body like the rest of us.
Yeah.
There's a relatability to that, like, you know, the Beatles were obviously when they were younger, they were like heartthrobs and everything like that. But right. John Lennon's not good looking.
He is.
He's got like a vibe.
John Lennon was good looking.
He kind of like invented that. But yeah, but like, it's like, was he good looking because he was like studly?
Because it was his attitude.
Yeah, right. He had
an
attitude.
But that's what women look for anyway. You know, right. We don't look at butt cracks. We don't look at bodies.
But then you see the guy's ass crack and you're just like, ugh. He's a freak like the rest of us.
Yeah, you really gotta bring it on that personality, John.
Yeah.
With that butt crack.
It almost makes you like him more.
Yeah. Yeah. He did have a temper, but then just as equally as amazing is Yoko Ono's tiniest ass crack I've ever seen. It's like it's like she put her ass against a microwave and trunk it. It's crazy. It is crazy how little ass crack she has. I mean, it's I've just never seen anything like it.
Truly.
It's wild. But yeah, so anyway, I don't know why I was talking about the work thing, but there was another Instagram post that I saw. And it's so funny. I have to play the audio. It was so fucking funny. I was playing it at the nail salon when I was getting my nails done this morning, and I was crying laughing. The guy was doing my toes, and I like moved my feet so hard because I was laughing so hard. He got pissed at me, and I was like, sorry. But it goes, it's one of those memes where it's like, no one, and then there's no words. And then it goes, Hispanic parents. And then it's audio, so I'm going to play it in a second. But it's all these like AT&T, Papa John's, but it's pronouncing them as Hispanic parents pronounce them. And I was losing my mind. Papa John.
Home Depot.
AT&T.
AT&T.
Walmart.
Walmart. Wendy.
Burger King.
Burger King.
McDonald's.
McDonald's.
Little Caesars.
Little Caesar.
Starbucks.
Starbucks coffee.
Costco.
Costco wholesale. Costco. Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Jack in the Box.
Party City.
Party City.
And then that one's Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut.
Just so fucking funny. Oh god. Oh, I just, I don't know. Maybe it's less funny when you're hearing it me talk about it over a microphone, but it's really funny. Go have fun, guys. I was in my neighborhood, as I am, because that's where I live, because it's my neighborhood. And I saw a proposal being set up. Like, and that happens sometimes in my neighborhood because we have all these docks and it just stares at Manhattan. It's insane view. So I saw a proposal being set up on one of the docks, and it was so elaborate. It was so, there was all these like rose, the boardwalk was covered in rose petals. There was all these heart balloons. I saw it from my apartment window. I was like, oh my God, some man put so much thought into a proposal. I gotta be down there to see him ask. I'm assuming it was a guy. Actually, at first I assumed it was lesbians, but then I saw a guy like nervously on the dock. So I was like, okay, it's gotta be a guy then. And I was so taken aback that a man would put so much effort into a proposal that I ran down and I wanted to watch it. And I got there and I was like, wow, it was more beautiful up close, the set that he created. And then I was just admiring it and going, wow, some men are so thoughtful. And then I hear, okay, quiet on set. And I'm like, it's a fucking TV set again? The flea market? Guys, film industry, stop tricking me. I already think that reality is already fragile for me because I'm just looking at screens all the time and thinking about getting abducted by aliens. And then every time I see like a cool thing downstairs and I go and I'm like, wow, what? Can I buy this piece of art? No, it's a set. It's a set? Can you tell us it's a set? So I don't go down there to investigate. It's really disappointing. It's really disappointing. Stop tricking me. Okay? Fucking stop it. I watched this documentary on Netflix. Highly recommend. I'm going to give you some spoilers. So if you're going to watch it, it's still interesting, even if you know what happened. I mean, you could kind of gauge from the title. It's called What Jennifer Did. Yo, what did Jennifer do? Well, I'll tell you what she did. She grew up with parents. She was an immigrant. Was she Vietnamese, I believe? First generation American. Or no, Canadian. Parents, super strict parents. As I often hear, immigrant parents just like make their kids be perfect. And I gotta say, it does work. I mean, Jesus Christ, not for nothing. Y'all are better. And you work harder and you earn more money. So maybe there's something to that, huh? However, there's also a dark side because what did Jennifer do? Oh man, she hired people to kill her parents. Mm. And she's a sweet gal. Like you see her in the deposition or the interrogation. And boy, an interrogation in Canada is so much more polite than one in New York. Oh my God, they're so respectful to her. I'm like, this is weird. This is almost uncomfortable watching it. It unfolds what ended up happening. They thought it was a random robbery. Turns out she hired people to kill her parents, okay? Because her parents wouldn't allow her to date this guy who, I got to be honest, he was a piece of shit. So they had the right, you know, message with that. However, Jen, she was in her 20s. You can't tell your, when you tell your kid not to date somebody, they're going to hire somebody to kill you. Honestly, they will. But you can't control your kid's life. When you try to control your kid's life, they might seem okay with it, but I'm telling you, it's going to blow up in your face like that gun did in Jennifer's mom's face, and she's dead. So RIP. But it was very interesting. I was talking to this woman I'm working with, this comedy writer that I'm working with, and I was like, everybody in this documentary was saying how evil Jennifer was. Like, I can't believe she did this. But you go over the story. Her dad told her what she could and could not major in college. What the fuck? What? Go away. Shut the fuck up. Are you going to college? No, I am. Now, look, I get he had his reasons. He wanted her. And I don't doubt that they loved Jennifer. I mean, that was a mistake because they loved her in a way that she wanted them dead. But it was coming from a good place for sure. But I can also see Jennifer's point. I would not ever hire somebody to kill my parents. I know. I'm a hero. I know. I know. You're listening to Mother Teresa. But when it was revealed that she was behind this, you know, her parents made her major in something in college. She ended up lying about going to college. She told her dad she was going to university. Her dad dropped her off. I don't know what the fuck she was doing during the day. She was probably just jerking off or something. I don't know. But she lied to her parents and said she went to college for 4 years and she just fucking didn't. So right there, that says the pressure that her parents put her under, she cracked. Clearly, she cracked. And I was kind of comically taken aback by all these people, like the law enforcement, when they discovered, like, oh my God, Jennifer was behind this. I'm like, well, yeah, her parents were trying to control. It's not a good thing. It's not good what she did. Okay. But I'm like, you're calling her evil, but I'm like, nah, that's just a human thing. You can't, when you force someone to live their life a certain way in a way that they do not want to live their life, it's going to explode. And she thought, I could tell, like, I don't understand wanting to kill your parents. I really don't, with all the things I've been through. I'm like, I would never want them dead. I get why she did what she did. And that's why I recommend watching this documentary. It's very interesting. But I was telling my friend Haley, I was like, I was watching this documentary last night, and then they, you know, she ended up killing her parents or hiring somebody to do it. And now if she shot her herself, I'd be like, ah, that's a fucked up chick. But hiring somebody, that's a push the ass bitch move, you know? That's some, you know. And so it's easier to like make that decision, I feel like, when it's somebody else pulling the trigger. But I was like, yeah, and as the cops discovered that she was behind it, they were like, how could she do this? That's so evil. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think, is it fucked up that I don't think that was that even, like, I get it. It's not a right decision. It's a bad decision. She's in jail forever, as she should be, but I get it. Do you know what I'm saying? And she, and then Haley was like, yeah, I totally get it. And we were talking about how, like, so many people and a lot of people on my Patreon, like, they have fucked up parents. A lot of us have fucked up parents. If you don't have fucked up parents, good for you. You won the lotto on that. But I think most of us do, because our parents try their best, but then they fuck up and then we're sad about it and we don't know how to handle it. But I'm like, wow. Yeah. And we were talking, I was talking to another friend about it who had fucked up parents, and she goes, oh, that makes total sense. Like, and then we were talking about how it's so much easier to think about hiring someone to kill your parents than to actually cut them off. Isn't that fucked up? And I was like, you know what? I totally get that. I totally get that, because hiring someone to kill someone, it's a little bit of a pussy ass bitch move, especially if you're doing it to your parents, right? But cutting off your parents, that takes strength. That takes strength. So good for me, guys. Good for me. I'm a fucking hero. I'm a hero. What did Jennifer do? Well, she's in jail now because she tried to kill her parents, and she did through somebody else. Guys, you know what it's time for? It's time for a little fuckboy theater, okay? my cherry cross. All cute. All cute. Gotta stop playing. I'm still playing.
You could go.
You go? Okay, cool. All right, guys. I got three good ones for you. Oh, man. I'm so excited. I got three good ones for you.
What a funny way to use this music.
I know.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's so appropriate. This is a bio of a guy named James. I'm going to say it. It's a Hinge bio. It's his profile. Now on Hinge, to refresh everybody's memory, you answer prompts. You have photos that you can post, and you can caption the photos if you want, but you can also answer prompts, which I love. I love that about Hinge. There's like a ton of prompts to choose from. And if you have anxiety like me and you care too much about what people think, you'll spend hours trying to figure out what prompt you want to answer. And then by that time, you got to go to bed because it's 2 a.m. And then you don't make a Hinge profile. But James did. He made his Hinge profile. And I want to read you three prompts that he answered. Okay. Prompt number one, a shower thought I recently had. James wrote, gotta jerk off. Prompt number two, I'll brag about you to my friends if, and James answered with, you're good in the sack. Okay. Prompt number three, the one thing I'd love to know about you is, and James said, are you mentally sound? Guys, what's happening? Why? Huh? James, you don't read it before you post it? Clearly you don't. I wish you well, James. All right, now this is a bio. I don't know what app this is. I don't think it's...
Wait, can I give you one thing?
Absolutely.
Before, what was the first prompt? A shower thought
I recently had.
So my answer for that prompt on Hinge used to be, man, this thing is big. Come, isn't that funny though?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
All right.
This is my last.
I thought it was okay. All right.
How are you going to attract love, Mikey, when you're talking about a big dong on your dating app profile? You know what I'm saying? They'll find out eventually. You want to win them over with your charm and your good personality and your
I
looks.
I thought it was charming.
And then when your dong's big, they're like, oh shit. And he's got a hog?
But isn't there...
This is my husband. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, but isn't there a way to be funny about it and not... Is that creepy or is that just like, you know, not a good line?
It's not a good line. It's not... I wouldn't say, because I know you're not creepy, yeah. But if I saw that, I'd be like, yeah, damn it. And he was had a hot face. What a waste. Huh?
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because here's the thing. You want to be subtle about it. I know that's like a woman thing, but no, men too.
Yeah.
Don't lead with the big dong. Get them, rope them in with your personality. And then when they, by the time they discover the big dong, they're going to go, did I just win the lotto?
Right.
You know what I mean? And they're going to be so excited that it's just going to make a stronger impression.
Let the big dong be a surprise.
Exactly. Let right. it speak for itself.
Okay.
Let right. your penis speak for itself.
Okay? Fair enough.
All right. Now, Jamie, this piece of shit, what did he say? This is Jamie's bio. Again, a bio is the first impression that you would like to make for people, might I remind you. Okay. This is Jamie's bio. This guy, he's 28 years old. I want to find genuine, honest, and trustworthy and mature. No fakes allow. I'm a hardworking man. I have no times for games. Looking for long term. Virgo. I love animals, video games, baseball movies, and all types of music. I keep an open mind. No transgenders. I prefer someone to keep up my positive energy. Dude, you can't have I keep an open mind and then the next sentence is no transgenders. You can't, but you're a liar. You don't say what you mean. And now, Jamie, we know that about you. I hope you've changed. Okay. This guy, I actually like a lot. And I can't see his picture. I can only see his profile, like the text in his profile. His name's Justin. It says he's 27 on here is the age that he lists, but then his bio will quickly correct you. I gotta be honest, I don't think this guy's a fuckboy at all. I like him a lot, and I don't even know what he looks like. And I would if I was single, I'd hit him up. This guy might be one of the few men whose profiles I've seen on a dating app where I'm like, now we're talking, huh? Okay. I'm 40, not 27. Also, I spent 18 years in prison for manslaughter. Slow down, ladies. Don't everyone swipe right at once. Don't want to break Twitter. He's on Hinge, not Twitter. So he's clearly been to prison. He's not lying because he thinks this is Twitter. Crying, laughing face emoji. Believe it or not, I'm actually a pretty nice guy. I won nicest con of the year 2 years in a row in Walpole State Penitentiary. I beat out a serial killer and a heroin-addicted bank robber, so take that for what you will. And scene.
That is an all-timer.
Yeah, I kind of want to date that guy. I kind of want to date that guy, because you know what? I love that you won Best Con. Two years in a row. That was a good streak for you. I bet if you had the pattern app, it would reflect that this is your year, Justin.
So you know he's nice.
He's super nice, but he's also honest about his situation.
Yeah,
you know, you're in prison for manslaughter. He didn't say involuntary. It was just manslaughter.
It's such a good point.
But what the guy did now? I have so many questions. What happened? Who was it? What'd they do? I mean, I would date this guy in a public space. I would go out in the daytime in public and I would tell all my friends, I would share my location. I don't ever do that, but I would do that if I went out with Justin just to be safe, you know, because you don't know him yet, right? But it sounds like his time in the slammer really did him good. Sounds like his time in it. And he's been a reformed fuckboy. Yeah. I like Justin. I like Justin. Guys, if you want to DM me your atrocious dating app conversations at Christina Hutch on Instagram, make sure you're following me on Instagram. Because I need more followers, because my self-worth is at stake. Okay? Now I'm going to read a little section for you, but I'm going to read a section from a different book, but it's talking about the same exact topic. Now, if you want to go, you could still go to my Patreon. What's the link, Christina? Well, it's patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson, guys. And where you could sign up, and there's a $5 a month level called Just Here to Listen, where you can hear all the bonus content where I'm reading excerpts from Supercharged Self-Healing. All the parts of the chapter I didn't get to on this episode are available day of on my Patreon when the episodes come out. But today I am going to read on Monday something for the Patreon that I'll upload. I'll read the next step in RJ Spina's Ascend the Frequencies Healing Technique. But this book, this is the second time I'm reading it. Now I'm a gal who reads multiple books at once, and which I love. And I love when they coincide and they all just kind of happen to be about similar stuff. I don't do that on purpose. It just happens that way. And this book, David R. Hawkins is an incredible, incredible writer. He wrote this book called Transcending the Levels of Consciousness, which is all I want to do in my life. I would love nothing more than to transcend the levels of consciousness. And that's what RJ Spina is trying to teach you in that book so you can heal your body, right? This guy, David Hawkins, completely lays it out in a, dare I say, like medical terms, but it's very helpful. It's very, very helpful because he basically nails all the things that we are as humans. And this book gives me incredible insight into why the fuck the world is so chaotic. It stresses me out how mean people can be, how murderous people can be, you know, how just pieces of shit. There's a lot of pieces of shit. And I believe that more people are good than bad, but the bad ones are so obnoxious. And that's what the news pushes on us, that we forget that there are more good than bad. And then we're like, why do I only see bad? Humans suck. Well, that's not the case. They're mostly bad, but they're not all bad. So this book does a great job. I'm just going to read a little chunk of it. And it's a positive one, okay? Because he goes through all of these emotions and he calibrates the frequency of each emotion, okay? Which is exactly what RJ Spina talks about. But the lowest emotion that one can feel with the lowest possible frequency, you guessed it, shame, okay? Shame is the lowest one. And then next up from that, guilt, apathy, grief, fear. Now I'm going to go up the scale. And with each one I read, you're going to get higher and higher levels of frequency. So it's shame, guilt, apathy, grief, fear, desire, anger, pride, courage, neutrality, willingness, acceptance, reason, love, joy, peace, and finally, enlightenment. And according to all those near-death experience videos I watch on YouTube, when you've reached the enlightenment part on Earth, you can stop coming here. So that's nice. I bet this is Beyonce's last life here, because goddamn, she's enlightened. So it goes, each chapter of this book kind of clinically dives into every single emotion, starting with shame. And I was reading last night the emotion of courage and this section of it. And I was like, this is beautiful. This is how people should act. Okay. And we're all capable of acting this way. And I just want to read this out loud to you as a reminder that this is who we can be. Okay. You might be listening to this podcast right now and you might be a real piece of shit. You know, you might lie. You might be cheating on your spouse. You might have 8 women pregnant at the same time. And if that's the case, wow, you got a lot of time on your hands and a and a lot of semen. But maybe that's something someone's going through right now who's listening to this or somewhere in the world. And we really, there's a profound lack of good role models and good examples, like walking, breathing examples of how to be. And I've noticed, like, and I do this a lot, when we like some, like, I love Beyonce, right? And when I talk about it, or I'll talk about it. I mainly like talking about how much I love Beyonce to other people who love Beyonce. Because if you don't love Beyonce, I don't give a fuck. I don't care. That's fine. You're not a bad person. You're not, you don't, it doesn't matter. I just don't care. I don't want to hear it. I don't care, right? But I feel like when we have all these famous people is, you know, that's the best example. You say, oh, I like this person. I don't like this person. A lot of times we say we don't like people because they have character flaws that are seemingly insurmountable, that I can't give my stamp of approval on this person because she has this one character flaw that I read about once in an article. I didn't really read the article, but I read the headline, you know? And so we're just so harsh on each other, which what that really means is we're harsh on ourselves. Oh, oh, there's some truth bombs for you, you pieces of crap. But we're really hard on ourselves. And I get it. Because how many examples are there of ways to be in the world? Not many good ones. And so this really breaks down the level of courage. It's a calibration, which this is the next book I'm going to read to you guys. So we'll get into that. But the calibration level is 200, which is pretty high on the scale. It's like above, let's see, where does it fall? Courage falls. It's above pride. So it's basically like the first really good level that you can be at. And we all have so many sides of ourselves. We go through sometimes, I mean, joy and peace. I experience those things, but that's not what I lead with. I would love to lead with those things. But, you know, a lot of times I got fear, I got grief, I definitely got shame. Ugh. So as a human being throughout our lifetime, we're going to go up and down these scales, sometimes multiple times throughout a day. And to that I say, do a ketamine infusion, guys. This shit's tough. But I want to read the introduction to the courage chapter. And just read one little section about social expressions of courage, because this, I believe, provides just a fantastic example of how to be. You know, we didn't learn this shit in school, but we should have. Fuck algebra, huh? Okay, courage. Introduction. At the level of courage, spiritual energy profoundly alters the experience of self and others. Therefore, it is the level of the onset of empowerment. Ooh, I love that for us. This is the zone of exploration, accomplishment, fortitude, and determination that we can all get to, might I say. At the lower levels, the world is seen as hopeless, sad, frightening, tempting, and frustrating. But at the level of courage, life is seen as exciting, challenging, and stimulating. Ooh, let's do that. Courage implies the willingness to try new things and deal with the vicissitudes, how to look that one up, of life. It's like a change in fortune. At this level of empowerment, one is able to cope with and effectively handle the opportunities of life. At level 200, for example, there is the energy to learn new job skills, and growth and education are now attainable goals. This is the capacity to face fears or character defects, because just because you lead with courage don't mean you don't got character defects, because we all got character defects, because we're in human bodies, which is synonymous with character defects, okay? There is a capacity to face fear or character defects and to grow despite them. Ooh, cute. And anxiety does not cripple endeavor as it does at the lower stages of evolution. Obstacles that defeat people whose consciousness level is below 200, which is the level of courage, act as stimulants to those who have evolved into the first level of true power. So we're all going to have character defects that we're going to have to face, right? We're all going to have failures that we're going to have to face. But when you are operating at a level of courage and above, you see these challenges as exciting. And it's just like, honestly, the key to life, you guys, is just to reframe shit so that it works better for you, so that you're more positive and more like realistic and honest with yourself. And when shit's going bad, you can be honest about it and it's okay. You know, the truth is not the enemy. Wish someone told me that earlier. People at this level put back into the world as much energy as they take from it. At lower levels, populations as well as individuals drain energy from other individuals and society without reciprocating. And my God, how many of us know dozens of people that operate in that way, where they just take, and they're like a toddler having a temper tantrum, and they leave a wreckage behind them. And you're like, why is this happening? And that's why I don't like people in my life that are bad. Because accomplishment results in positive feedback, self-reward, and self-esteem become progressively self-reinforcing. This is where productivity begins. Okay, now let's look at social expressions of courage, aka how to be in the world, how I want everybody to be in the world. Concern for others and the capacity for social responsibility arise above level 200. That 78% of the world's population is below consciousness level 200. And that sucks because that means most people in the world do kind of suck. In America, it's 49% of people are below consciousness level 200. So technically what I said earlier was right. There are technically more good people than bad people, but not by many. Oops. Explains why the world is as it is, with its endless conflicts, wars, poverty, crime, etc. Research indicates that the source of these problems is endogenous rather than exogenous. Did I know what the word endogenous meant when I read it?
No!
No, I didn't. I had to look it up. It's having an internal cause or origin, which means that exogenous is having an outside cause or origin. So the reason that all these people suck is coming from within inside their heart. But they don't think that. And it's like, guys, stop clinging to a religion to make you justify killing somebody. It's stupid. It's stupid. And you're wrong. But you really don't think you are. And that's tough. That's tough to work with. Self-honesty brings relief from the negative emotions of lower energy fields. Anxiety, fear, insecurity, and guilt diminish, as do frustration, resentment, got a lot of that, and anger. Got a lot of that too. Negative emotions are now unwelcome and unpleasant in both oneself and others. So yeah, so when you get this level of calibration where you're operating mainly on like a courage level of 200, you don't want motherfuckers in your life that are dramatic, that don't, you know, that say things but don't do them, that are obnoxious, that are just assholes. You just, your tolerance for assholery goes down as your consciousness level goes up. And that's just, it's beautiful. Arguments, conflict, and discord are no longer attractive because they have lost their ego inflation. Huh. Transitory difficulties of social realities are accepted aspects of human life rather than being seen as personal insults. Wow. Wow. Let me read that again for the people in the back. Transitory difficulties of social realities are accepted aspects of human life rather than being seen as personal insults. I cannot tell you how many people are walking around this goddamn earth just projecting their pain onto others and they don't know they're doing it. And I'm like, I don't know how to get you to see that you're doing it. I mean, I would love to figure out a way to try, but for now, I'm just not gonna talk to you, okay? There is a progressive distaste for violence and the theatrics of political and ideological extremism as the comfort of inner calm, homeostasis, is preferred to the excitement of adrenaline. And that's the other thing. Like all those motherfuckers that stormed the Capitol, for example, they loved that shit. You saw the footage. They were fucking screaming. They were wearing Halloween costumes, painting their face like they're at a goddamn Penn State game. They were loving the adrenaline of being a fuckery, okay? And you could tell. And you're like, uh-oh, that's not good. With maturity, there is the development of a sense of humor that replaces hostile attacks and outbursts. Oh, I love that. The peace and quiet that seems boring at lower levels of consciousness are now preferred, as are periods of calm during which to think and contemplate. Reflection now becomes more important than emotionalized reactivity. Oh, God, I wish I had this book when I was 5. Desires are less demanding, and the quality of patience replaces drivenness and intolerance for delay of gratification. Oh, these sentences are just chock full of wisdom. At level 200, life becomes more deliberate and impulsiveness diminishes. Personal happiness becomes an achievable goal and gratitude replaces resentment, self-pity, and blaming others. Now, oh God, I want to be on this level so bad because you know your girl still has self-pity. Oh, it's so annoying. I can't stand myself. I can't fucking stand. I'm too self-aware. And then when I feel bad for myself, I'm like, here we go again. There's something like if I'm having a bad day and something bad happens to me, I'm like, why is this God hate me? And this is always, it's like, shut the fuck up, Christina. You know what I mean? The subjective experience of the world changes for the better and the people seem more friendly and hospitable. The glamour of specialness fades as an attraction. Oh, what? I kind of hated that sentence when I first read it, but I also love it. The glamour of specialness fades as an attraction and excesses are replaced by balance. Courage leads to exploration and self-development, and it facilitates personal growth and the evolution of consciousness. The critical key to moving into the strength of courage, here we go, give me the keys, give me the tips, is the acceptance of personal responsibility and accountability. That should be on all the dollar bills, not in God we trust. This major move requires relinquishment of a victim-perpetrator dualistic fallacy that socially undermines integrity via blame and excuses based on dualistic moral and social relativistic fallacies and theories by which an external cause or social condition replaces integrous personal autonomy and self-honesty. That sentence does not roll well off the tongue, but however, what he's basically saying is, in my dumb terms, looking at things as black or white and good or bad is not the way. That's a lower consciousness way. To say a person is wholly good or wholly bad is just, it's incorrect. Even the person that's done the worst thing that you could possibly think of, they are not good or bad. They are both. They're both. You're both. I'm both. You're both. We're all, that guy talking and having a meeting next door, he's both too. Okay. We're all of these things. And I feel like our egos and our brains, we race to label people. We race to box people in off of an identity, off of what they look like. And it's like, guys, let's stop being dumbasses and realize that everybody has a very complex life and a very complex story that has informed all of their decisions. Okay. He gets it. David R. Hawkins gets it. Now we're going to get it. Thus, courage also includes rising above identification with the rationalizations that characterize social beliefs that calibrate below level 200 and are based on presumptions of blame and excuses. Even if there is or has been an external excuse, it still behooves the individual to rise above it. Oh, wow. I mean, that's some Mother Teresa shit. Society is rife with well-publicized examples of such invocation of courage, even in the face of severe calamities. And then he says, example, McCain, 2005. No idea what he means by that. I don't know if he means John McCain. I don't know. I have no idea what he means. Did I look it up?
No.
So there you go. Experientially, the most common challenge to courage is fear, plus concordant self-doubt and the fear of failure. So that's the recipe, baby. Fear plus the concordant of self-doubt and the fear of failure equals you don't got courage. Courage does not mean absence of fear, but the willingness to surmount it, which, when accomplished, reveals hidden strength and the capacity for fortitude. Fear of failure is diminished by realizing that one is responsible for the intention and effort, but not the result. Ugh, I wish Jennifer's parents would have read that. Oh, boy. I'm going to repeat that. That sentence is, I was reading it last night in my bed, and I was like, God damn, that's well said. Fear of failure is diminished by realizing that one is responsible for the intention and effort, but not the result, which is dependent on many other conditions and factors that are non-personal. And I mean, immediately I think of like when if you're an actor and you go out for auditions and you really want the role and you don't get it. I used to work for casting, boo. I interned for 30 Rock casting for a semester once. And I heard the wardrobe lady, I guess they cast a famous person to be a guest star in an episode. And they had to have auditions to cast somebody else in it because the lady got a movie or something happened. Some Hollywood shit happened. And the wardrobe lady came in and she goes, whoever you cast, can you make sure they're a size zero? Because we already got the wardrobe for the actress that was going to do it. And they're size zero. And we don't have enough time. We have to cast somebody size zero. So then I go, and I was majoring in acting in school while I was doing this internship. And I was like, yo, somebody could come in that room and have the fucking dopest audition for that role and not get it if they weren't a size zero because of this technicality. They weren't saying, if you're a fat cunt, you can't be on our show. They weren't saying that at all. They were just, for convenience, they already got the wardrobe. They just want somebody who fits the wardrobe. It happens to be a size zero, which, you know, but whatever. That's fine. If you're size zero, you're not evil, okay? Because we're all everything, you guys. But I was like, well, goddamn, that's an external factor that you can't help. So if you went into that audition in your size 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 32, and you crushed it, and then you didn't get the part, you might go home thinking, why am I such a dum-dum? But you're not a dum-dum. The famous lady who had that part before she had to get a movie was a size zero. Now you can't help that. So I love that sentence a lot. All right, last paragraph. Strong intention plus dedication, assisted by inspiration, surprisingly, can bring success despite prior failures. This reveals the inner capacity for bravery and fortitude that greatly increases self-esteem and confidence. Many of life's travails can only be traversed by white-knuckling it, which builds self-confidence. Guys, this book is so, it's so good. It's so good. It's, he takes all of his emotions out, which I love because your girl is riddled with them and I don't want to be. And he just explains, like, here's how you be this way. And here are the benefits, the pros and cons. And some of these ways don't have any cons of being these things. Here's all the human emotions. And I'm going to give you a scientific breakdown of what they look like in the world and what the challenges and obstacles are for becoming them. And it's just bravo. Bravo, guys. All right. Thank you. Thank you for being here, everybody. Congrats on not killing yourself. Sign up for my patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson. Follow me on social media at Christina Hutch. Follow Mikey Big Dick Dong Coscarelli at Michael Coscarelli.
Mike.
Damn it.
Mike Coscarelli.
Okay. I hope you didn't. Mike Coscarelli. And follow Slickback Studios.
Slickback _ Studios.
And then Ronnie, you want to shout out your handle?
I don't have Instagram.
She's lucky, bitch.
She's too Gen Z. She doesn't do it anymore.
No. She's smart and wise. You are, how old are you?
23.
Going on 75. Thank God. Thank good for you.
Go back
good
to your
for
book,
you.
Ronnie.
Yeah, it's changed.
The inner peace you must feel. Oh, I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy. And I wish that for all of you. Fuck Instagram, but follow me on Instagram. Okay? Follow me, or else I won't be able to go on tour because no one likes me and no one follows me. I gotta read that book again. All right, guys, thank you so much. I'll talk to you next Monday.